RNZ Pacific News, Nisan Bulavinaka, I'm Selmanu Tevam Tafei. The World Health Organization's Western Pacific Regional Director says a spike in measles cases in the Pacific is likely due to a large number of children missing out on vaccines during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the WHO, measles cases jumped from just over 1,400 in 2022 to more than 5,000 last year in the Western Pacific region. Dr. Sa'ia Ma'upiukala says immunisation coverage for all routine vaccines dropped during the pandemic.
The health workforce were concentrating on COVID-19 vaccination and then forget about the routine vaccination, not only measles, but other routine immunisation schedule.
Over the past 2 years, Pacific nations have been conducting nationwide measles and rubella immunisation campaigns to try and catch up on their inoculation schedules. The Silver Magistrates Court has placed the former Fiji Supervisor of Elections, Mohamed Sanim, under strict bail conditions. Mr. Sanim is charged with receiving a corrupt benefit. Fiji Live reports Magistrate Krishnan Prasad ordered the accused must not interfere with prosecution witnesses and not re-offend, and that a non-cash bond of $5,000 be placed on Mr. Sanim. The court also ordered that Mr. Sanim surrender all travel documents and provide a fixed residential address for the court's record. The matter has been adjourned to March 19th for mention. RNZ Pacific's Marshall Islands correspondent says the US is sending a bad message to the rest of the Pacific by not addressing outstanding nuclear legacy issues. US President Joe Biden has signed into law the Compact of Free Association with the Marshall Islands. Gif Johnson says the United States did not take the opportunity to address the issue in its third compact negotiation.
The Marshall Islands and the freely associated states, they're the number one allies of the U.S. in the Pacific. And yet, the U.S. government won't address the nuclear problems that it caused. I mean, yeah, it's doing a little. It's doing some things that are good, and that's fine. But it's not doing enough.
A researcher who discovered the Great Pacific Garbage Patch in 1997 says the trash pile continues to grow. Captain Charles Moores of Moore Institute for Plastic Pollution Research has data on the changes to the patch. He says seeing that array of debris is an emotional experience because you're as far from land as you can be on the ocean.
The Pacific is one third of the surface of the Earth. All the other oceans are just another third and the land is another third. So that expanse, these garbage patches, are 20% of the surface of the ocean. So this is a huge, huge problem, and it is increasing.
Captain Moore says it is a shock to spend a week travelling through beautiful blue water and then come across the mess. Engineers from China have now started the work to repair and upgrade the roads on Niue. The Niue government had been seeking to repair the roads at the time of the country's 40th anniversary in 2014. As it now approaches its 50th, the work is underway. The island's finance minister, Crossley Tatui, says China's providing a grant of $18 million New Zealand dollars for the work, with Niue putting up New Zealand $5 million. An Otago University researcher has been looking into sugary drink tax in Tonga. Several Pacific Island governments have brought in taxes on a variety of processed foods, aiming to reduce non-communicable diseases. Andrea Ting from Otago University's Department of Public Health says for their evaluations in Tonga, they did sugary drinks first a few years ago, and now they are going to look at the food taxes and subsidies.
We had data from their imports, so we could see most of their drinks imported into Tonga, and we could look at those trends over time. And there's a very, you know, a direct time point in 2013 when that first tax came in, and we can see a change in the trend, so that there was less of those drinks were imported than what we would expect otherwise. And that happened in each time that they put that tax up.
In Aotearoa, New Zealand, a dozen school and early childhood sector groups have banded together to defend the free school lunch scheme. They have written to Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, urging him not to cut the program's funding. Our education correspondent John Gerritsen reports.
The letter's signatories cover Catholic, area, intermediate and Montessori schools, primary, secondary and Māori principals, both teacher unions, kindergartens and one of the main early childhood education associations. They say the lunch scheme, Ka Ora Ka Ako, is a critical investment, and research shows students who miss meals are as much as 4 years of learning behind those who don't. Associate Education Minister David Seymour has said there's no hard evidence the program improves children's achievement and attendance, and he'd like to cut its funding by up to half.
A former head of Auckland University's medical school says the government needs to find a way to keep GPs working in Aotearoa. The New Zealand Initiative is calling for urgent action to secure the general practitioner's workforce and expand their role. The author of its report, Emeritus Professor of Medicine Des Gorman, says 500,000 New Zealanders aren't enrolled with a family doctor.
Which is why the only solution the government really should be doing at the moment is looking at the GPs in place and working with them to decide how best to keep them there, because as an observation, Corin, the Commonwealth Fund has reported that 40% of our GPs are making plans to retire. Now, if that occurs, that's a disaster.
Des Gorman says there isn't a financial solution to the problem, and the government needs to look at how to keep GPs in the workforce. In world news, Palestinian medical staff had told the BBC they were blindfolded, detained, forced to strip and repeatedly beaten by Israeli troops after the soldiers overran Nasser Hospital in Gaza last month. The Israeli Defence Force has said it found weapons in the hospital belonging to the Palestinian militant group Hamas, which its operation in Gaza aims to wipe out. With more, here's the BBC's Wira Davis.
Images and footage obtained by the BBC show hospital patients with their hands zip-tied, detained outside in their beds and wheelchairs. Israeli soldiers were also filmed standing over stripped and kneeling medical staff. More than 50 medics were detained, and one of the few doctors who have since been released told the BBC his hand was broken in captivity and that he thought he'd be killed. Israel says any abuse of detainees is against IDF orders and is strictly prohibited.
Italy plans to set up an investment fund with an initial endowment of 1.09 billion euros to promote artificial intelligence projects. The Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, says Italy wants to use its presidency of the group of seven major democracies this year to focus on the effect of AI on jobs and inequality, while also laying down safeguards for the development of the technology. She says she's convinced there can and must be an Italian way to do artificial intelligence. Her government is working on a bill to regulate the sector in Italy. In sport, the Ngati Tangi Matavera Sea Eagles caused the biggest upset in the Cook Islands Rugby League 13's Premier Men's competition last Saturday when they defeated Awatiu Nikau Eels 22-18. Cook Islands News says the Eagles took control of the game with their physicality and proved too strong for the Eels. Another game saw the Arorangi Bears beat the Titi Kaweka Bulldogs 32-6. In the women's competition, the Lady Bulldogs scored a commanding 34 win over the Lady Bears. Matches were also held in the under-16 grade, with Sea Eagles winning 24-10 over the Bears. In the under-14 grade, the Sea Eagles proved too strong for the Panthers, going home with a 14-4 win. That's your latest RNZ Pacific news and sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.